they're entitled to actually license.
Yeah.
But generally, not done in Boston and Medicare. So, we're only partway through this. You've had enough of the driving metaphor, I don't know what to tell you before it's done. Just a quick look in the rearview mirror where we've been in Romans, we establish the fact that we can't stay where we are, stranded by the roadside. The car, empty with an empty tank, an engine that doesn't work, and we have no idea what direction to drive in the first place. So like Abraham and Sarah, we hope we can hope, trusting that God has promised us. And this life in God's promises is so full that we can actually stand up in the sunroof, stand on the grace of Jesus, and proclaim and live life, stick our head out of the roof, and look for the Spirit to blow on our faces while we're heading down the road. And then if we do happen to look around at that, we want to make sure our eyes are fixed not on what's behind us, but ahead. So last week, we began chapter 6. Today, we're finishing chapter 6. And last week we left with this picture of living under the hood ornament instead of in the car. Paul says, you must consider yourself and the life of God is right. Meaning, drive looking out the windshield. Drive with your eyes fixed on that hood ornament, cross, Christ. Yes, in the trunk there's baggage. We've all got luggage, baggage in the trunk. In fact, Paul says we even have a dead body in the trunk. It's a very nervous situation for driving. You heard me right. There's even a dead body in the trunk. I know I'm speaking a little too abstract at all. That person in the trunk is actually our old life before baptism. It's a life that was united to Jesus' death and resurrection. And that life we've got to drag around in the car for the whole journey of life. Fix our eyes on what is ahead, not what is behind. We confess and are clear that, yes, the baggage comes with us, but so we can actually, by the grace of God, what is it not listening to that body knocking and rumbling around in the future? We need to keep our eyes closed. So today continues that idea. Paul is going to unpack now the results of baptism. We are united with Christ and now walking in his life. Because of baptism, we're hydroplaning on these baths full of water. The drive seems wild when you're standing in the center. But the drive is also incredible. We have license. Now, Paul knew what kind of license he thought the race was about. He said something last week, he said it's dangerous. Give us freedom and say, hey, I'm going to kind of keep doing me. I'm going to live my life, do kind of what I want. And if it gets a little too out of control, then I'll come to the Lord and I'll ask him for it. And I'll, just kind of work it out this way. Also, what if I just have to do it? Please, give us a license. License to nab and license to ignore. Let me begin by saying this. Now, we just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary a few weeks ago, and had a great time. But I'll tell you something. Some of us need to be married. Not everybody needs to be married. Not everybody finds a spouse or wants a spouse or wants to have a spouse. I need a spouse because I don't know where I would find my first And in fact, we were just on vacation this week, and Eagle Crest is like a resort community with all kinds of twists and turns. And we've been there several years in a row, and still, we'll pass the road that we were on a few times that week, and then we'll say, and then I'll play it off like, no, we're taking the scenic route. See, this is a loop. Highland View loop. We'll loop back around. So I'm just going to, we're going to look at the $1 million home from the top of the hill. And we're going to drive that down to our loop. And so I kind of try to play it off. Who knows? parking spot, and I don't know how I would find my way there. There wasn't for my dear wife, Freedom, the license I gave her when I gave her my wedding vows. The license to connect my neighbor is only my name. She's coming in the wrong direction, from past the 7 parking spots. And so she got license. And it's not even that, I shouldn't say it's not that. Oh, let me pick on my mom who's sitting in front of my wife. No, actually, the best advice I ever got from my mom is my teacher from seminary says baptism doesn't remove the old world from you. It doesn't take the baggage out of the cross. But it positions you in such a way that you're no longer a slave of the law or a slave of sin. Guess what? I found a new driver. Yes, I know there's something back there. I gotta keep it off the field so nobody, you know, detects it too much. But you know what? That's not what it belongs to me. It belongs to Jesus. Baptism gives us a license to nag, to ignore, and outlaw, to live in armed consequences. So there's a difference between driving legally and driving lovingly. Driving legally, of course, is when our family packed up the van and headed out to meet the rest of the week, we more or less followed the path of the road. And sometimes the RV's on the road, we're going a little steep, to be involved, and so then we have to kind of encourage them to go at least half the speed. But for the most part, we are following the law on the highway. What did our family end up doing almost every night after dinner? What did we do, Emmett? We broke the law. And what does that mean? It means that after dinner we would do some activity. So at Eagle Crest, you know, you pay a lot of money for any fees and go and go golf. But we don't golf. We get putters from Tennessee and go out there with a few balls and find them quickly. And when all the golfers are gone, what's going to say? We sneak out there and And then we kind of added some fun, so turns out we parked further than we ended up, and so I went and got the thing done to the getaway car. And when the boys and mom were done golfing, I pull up the getaway car and open up the hatch of the van. Get in, quick! And everyone jumps in the van, lifts themselves, and drives through the resort neighborhood to the back. Probably. We were outlawed. We were driving, not legally. We were driving lovely. I wouldn't have done this if it was actual to reveal this of Jesus. We are driving lovely. But there was something kind of fun about breaking the law as a family when Grandma was back at the condo doing a visit to Grandma. And that was kind of a fun memory from the trip. Now, good luck parents trying to translate that for you. This is just sort of an example of what Paul's talking about. Because of baptism, we're on Roman's road and we can drive down this road as Jesus drives, and we can add him, pray to him, ask him what's going on, we can ignore the sound coming from his tongue, and we can even bend the law of it. Paul doesn't talk about losing our license, but he does talk about obedience from the heart to the teachings of the word. And it's been said that Paul said it this way for a particular reason. He didn't say this teaching was entrusted to you, but you were entrusted to me. So the difference is, Jesus doesn't give us a new law. It's like, here's my new law. It's up to you. It's up to us. So instead, Jesus gives us a promise. And he talks about the truth. And we're going to share it with us. We can approach Christ, who saved us. He said, screw over that, I'm driving. Just like Terry Underwood was calling on Christ. Terry Underwood saying, Jesus, take the wheel. Certainly, we come to points in our life when we do feel that way. And we do confess that we need to find a God in our hearts. The truth is, Jesus took the wheel. He took it from our hands. He didn't have to give us the wheel. He took it from our hands. We couldn't do it on our own. celebrate this weekend, this week. We live in a country that's